Here's Jared Bowen with the latest on the Oscar nominations. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bob.
Scribbling madly over there as they were being announced. Tell us what your take is on the initial, what's your initial reaction to the nominations?
They just wrapped up about 3 minutes ago. I'm still sort of digesting everything. But first of all, we have 9 Best Picture nominees this year, which is pretty significant. And it's actually, honestly, this has been a fantastic year for film, and it's everything that should be nominated. You have American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and Wolf of Wall Street. The one missing movie here was Inside Llewyn Davis, and the Coen brothers didn't get anything for director or it looks like screenplay either, which is kind of a first for them, I think, in a long time. For best director, it's sort of everything as expected. The director of Gravity, 12 Years of Slave, of course, for American Hustle and Nebraska. Also, Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street. The one person anticipated who didn't get it was Spike Jones for Her. However, he did get nomination for best original screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And the acting categories, which are most fun, again, this year, because everybody is so good. And the best supporting actor category, first of all, this is terrific. Barkhad Abdi, who is the Somalian who came out of nowhere, answered
Captain
an open
Phillips.
Call audition, exactly, for Captain Phillips, and suddenly
and improvised his famous line.
Yeah, and now he's landing on red carpets. It's so nice to hear this story. Bradley Cooper for American Hustle, Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave, Jared Leto, who everybody says is the lock for Dallas Buyers Club, Jonah Hill, which is kind of a surprise, but he was great in Wolf of Wall Street. The one missing one here, it's slightly sad, is James Gandolfini for Enough Said. He didn't capture a nomination, which is a little sad, of course, to be posthumous. In the Best Supporting Actress category, I think the biggest absence here is there's no Oprah Winfrey for The Butler, but instead we have Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine, Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts for August Osage County, and another really great story here, someone who's been acting her entire life and is now just hitting the big time in her mid-80s, June Squibb for Nebraska.
That's right, and I saw a profile, I think, on CBS Sunday Morning about her, and she's finally making it at age, 84?
Yeah, something like that. I saw that profile, too. How fun is she?
I know.
She's so spirited. Speaking of Nebraska, in the Best Actor category, Bruce Dern, who also has been gone for a long time, it seems, and then comes back in a very big way for Nebraska. Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club, and then Christian Bale for American Hustle and Leonardo DiCaprio for Wolf of Wall Street. There are two big missing nominations here. Tom Hanks was not nominated for Captain Phillips, and Robert Redford, who people had acclaimed from the get-go for All Is Lost, because this is a one-man opus, he was also not nominated.
Maybe just not enough awards
for Robert
Redford. And Jared, they're able to nominate up to 10 films for Best Picture? Is that the deal now?
They are, because everything has changed, and so it all depends on sort of the voting mechanism and the math, so that's why some years you could get 5, and some years you'll get 9 like we did this year.
Yeah, lots of good pictures.
So, and then finally, just to wrap it up, we have Best Actress. This is largely as expected. Amy Adams for American Hustle, Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Judi Dench for Philomena, and Meryl Streep for August Osage County. She's already the most nominated actress, so this just catapults her forward even more. If she did win, she would tie Katharine Hepburn, I believe, for the most wins by an actor. And the missing one here is Emma Thompson for Saving Mr. Banks. She was terrific in this film. Not sure why she didn't get nominated.
Uh-huh. Okay, now when are the awards? Do we know when the ceremony is actually?
I believe they're at the beginning of March.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll certainly be hearing a lot about that before they take to the air. But anyway, those are all the nominations just announced this morning out of Beverly Hills. Thank you, Jared. Next, we turn to some plays that are on stage here in the Boston area. The first, of course, from a famous film, The Color Purple.
Yeah, this is presented by the Speakeasy Stage Company, and it's on stage at the Calderwood Pavilion through February 8th. And this is a musical adaptation that was done a few years ago and presented here in Boston now of The Color Purple. And I think it's an interesting time to see this piece, especially in this era of 12 Years a Slave, where we're really considering the African-American experience. This is a young woman in the early 1900s who's just completely put upon. She's abused by her stepfather. She's put into this awful marriage. She's basically, her name is Celie. She's a woman who lives to die. She can't make eye contact. She lives perpetually down and just she's separated from her sister, so really all is lost in her life. But you see this arc, and you finally see this evolution in her and this redemption. I did have a chance to talk to its star, Lovely Hoffman, who is a local woman. She's a teacher. I don't know how she's doing it to do this hugely emotional role by night and teach during the day. But she talks about how Celie and her ties to the Africa in the show resonated with her own real-life experience.
When I went to Africa, that was such an enlightening experience for me because I was able to learn, too, that, wow, my ancestors, the people who come from Africa, they are beautiful. And that helps to build a sense of self-worth in Celie, and it definitely helped to build a sense of self-worth in me and know my ancestry and knowing that the people were not the images that you typically see in the media, but that these are brilliant people.
I mean, it's important to remember here that Celie in the show, she's constantly told that she's ugly. I mean, this is how she's identified.
Oh, right.
So this is, I mean, this is a tough character to get into, and Lovely Hoffman does a fantastic job.
Okay, next we turn to the Venus in Fur at the Huntington Theater Company's BU Theater.
What's a little sadomasochism for you first thing in the morning, Bob? Because this is largely what Venus in Fur is about. This is a comedy playing at the Huntington Theater Company through February 2nd. And this is a play, a 90-minute play, in which we find a writer and director, Tom, who is just exasperated that he can't find the leading woman for his play, which is based on the actual 1870 erotic novella Venus in Furs by the Austrian author from whom we get the term masochism.
Oh.
And suddenly this woman comes in a flourish, this ditzy blonde actress. She comes in, it's thunder and lightning outside, and she explodes in, and she just doesn't seem to get it. She doesn't seem to understand what the play is about, yet she wants to audition, she wants to capture his attention. And then what unfolds over the next 90 minutes is you realize that she's really not who she appeared at the outset. And you have this role reversal, this power struggle, and it largely is centered around sex and the interpretation of this piece and their interpretation of each other. And it's very funny, and it does what the best theater does, that engages you as an audience member to try to determine what really should be working and who you identify with. Mm. So it keeps you on your toes for 90 minutes.
So worth seeing.
Absolutely.
Venus in Fur at the Huntington Theater Company's BU Theater. And next, we are proud at Arts Emerson's Paramount Center.
I saw this last night. This is a totally new piece of theater. It is probably one of the most evocative, provocative, entertaining, and clever pieces that I have seen this season.
Really?
It's a collaboration between Arts Emerson and Company One, directed by Company One's brilliant director, Summer Williams. So this is sort of a meta theater piece. You walk into this black box space, and you see the actors warming up, having their pre-show exercises. And then what unfolds is they are presenting this presentation. The full title is, "We are proud to present a presentation about the Herero of Namibia." I knew I wouldn't be able to say that on air. Formerly known as Southwest Africa, from the German Südwest Africa between the years 1884 and 1915. So this is the conceit, that they're going to give you this lecture. But what it becomes is this lecture about German genocide of West Africa.
Wow.
And you have the actors struggling with how to portray this. And you have their character names are White Man 1, White Man 2, Black Man 1, or another black man, another white man. And so you see these labels, and you see these actors literally struggling to present this piece to you. And it is so engaging for that reason. It's a terrific cast. I cannot say enough about this.
I've seen the New York Times named it to one of the top 10 plays of 2012 as well. So this is at Arts Emerson's Paramount Center through February 1st, and it's titled We Are Proud. And the last but certainly not least, Open Studios on the air tomorrow night at 8:30 on WGBH Channel 2. What have you got?
We look at the very expansive De Cordova Biennial, which, of course, is a survey of the freshest, best in contemporary art in New England. And you can see more of my interview with Lovely Hoffman, who I just mentioned plays Celie in this new musical version of The Color Purple at Speakeasy Stage Company.
Phew, we got it all in. All the Oscar nominations, the three plays, and also your show tomorrow night, 8:30 to WGBH Channel 2, Jared Bowen's Open Studio. Thank you, Jared.
Thanks, Bob.
See you next week.